Here in Hawaii, we're pretty lucky. We only see an occasional power outage that may only last a few hours, but you will have to learn to be patient if a hurricane packing winds of hundreds of miles an hour hit. Many experts agree we're long overdue for a big one. Joining us in studio is Hawaiian Electric Senior Vice President Scott Siu to talk about what's in place to help recover from a disaster and prepare for one. Scott, welcome.
Good morning, Catherine.
So what can you share with us? I heard out of one of these legislative briefings that 60% of Hawaiian Electric's power resources are in like an inundation zone. I mean, how does a company approach, planning for a disaster like that?
Well, inundation zones, first and foremost, they're focused on tsunami, right? Tsunami inundation. But whether it's a tsunami or longer-term sea level rise risks, I think it's just an indication that as we rethink how we're planning our electric system and our grid and, for that matter, other critical infrastructure, I think we all need to rethink how we look at where the locations of that infrastructure lie and then take that into our plans. When I'm thinking about threats or natural disasters, I sort of break it into near-term risks and what should we be doing about it. And with things like sea level rise, I would put that into, okay, as we plan our system, as we make those decisions, let's bake that type of a risk into our plans going forward.
Okay, that's long-term.
Right.
And we could, though, be hit with a tsunami, and I think we're getting into the tsunami preparedness, month, I think, in April, and a lot of resources will be spent talking about that. So we saw what happened in Japan and in Indonesia many years ago. So how does the power utility look at that threat?
Well, I remember a few years ago in one of my prior roles, I was the Hawaiian Electric liaison officer to the state civil defense. This was before they became HAIMA. And I remember during one of the tsunami warnings being down there at the Berkheimer Command Center. And what we were doing with respect to that actual tsunami was first and foremost making sure that our employees were appropriately located. So Any one of our facilities, like some of our power plants, they're relatively close to the ocean. We needed to make sure that health and safety of the employees was secured. We also, where we had facilities that weren't critical to keeping the lights on, if we could, then we would tell people, okay, you need to leave. Let's go ahead and move your equipment, move your trucks, and so on further inland. From that, it was really a matter of doing what we could to rebalance where we generate power. So we have power stations that are not on the coast. So if anything, what we would do is we want to look at transitioning power generation to our power plants that are inland and take less of the risk of having some damage to a coastal power plant. So we go through these checkpoints. We also activate what's called our emergency incident management team. And we are there communicating with our employees, with our customers, and, of course, the state emergency response agencies.
Right. And for folks, like I said, who may have been inconvenienced, with the power outage, when we think of long term, as we've seen with some of the storms, we're talking, you can't get gas because, they need electricity, to activate those pumps. You can't charge your phones. I mean, people are really affected when they don't have power.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think all of us, as we look to last year and the experiences, especially that the folks over in Puerto Rico went through with Hurricane Maria, it was just a sort of an eye-opening experience for everybody, even those of us who have spent many years in the utility sector. One of the things that you can take away is that it's so critical for the different infrastructure owners to be very, very closely coordinated with each other. We rely, for example, on having open roadways and highways to make sure that our crews can get to locations to do repairs. We also, for some of our power plants, we rely on having a source of water to operate those power plants. So you can imagine that if you have a widespread disaster that affects roadways, it affects water supplies, affects communications, that it will be more difficult for the power company to be able to restore its services and provide those the needed electricity.
Right. And you no longer use the facility down there along Ala Moana anymore. But, you know, people know Kahi Power Plant, you know, that's along the coastline there. And if that were to go out, you know, that would affect a lot of people.
It would. We still have power plants in other locations of the island, whether it's Waiau Power Plant in nearby Pearl Harbor or some of the power generating stations in the Campbell Industrial Park. Those actually are not within the normal tsunami inundation zone, so those would be okay from a tsunami, a so-called regular tsunami perspective. You know, as the operator of the electric system, what we would always be looking at is how do we, as quickly as possible, assess what damage there has been, whether it was from a tsunami or hurricane or other event, and very quickly, as rapidly as possible, how do we bring back the power system, understanding that there may be sections of the island which might be without power for longer times.
Right, and I grew up in Guam, which is located in Typhoon Alley, and we've been hit by super typhoons in with winds in excess of 200 miles an hour, and that's devastating. You know, you go months without power, and you know, when you, if you have a health situation where you rely on electricity for your life-saving equipment, either at home or if you need dialysis, I mean, a lot of those really critical healthcare facilities, you know, there's a big question, like how do you operate?
Right. We communicate very closely with not only our state and county emergency response agencies to prioritize critical facilities like hospitals, you know, certain schools, large, you know, wastewater treatment plants as an example. So we are already aware of those types of facilities that we have to put priority in restoring power to. In the case of hospitals, fortunately, hospitals themselves are required to have certain amounts of emergency power.
Right. They have generators.
That's actually a great lesson for all of our customers. The more that customers themselves can be prepared, it does take pressure off of the electric company. And, you know, because we know that even though you are a very high priority customer, if you can survive, you know, we're coming towards you, we're going to get power back to you. But having that baked in resilience on our customer's standpoint helps us.
Right. So if you have solar and if you're off the grid, that helps.
It does. I think for us, what we're always trying to look at is as best as we can, first and foremost, make sure that we have awareness of what the situation is. So in a power outage, you know, assess the damage, come up with a plan on how we fix that and go from there in terms of coordinating with our customers and the emergency responders. You know, unfortunately, there's going to be situations, I think, where you have areas of the island that, you know, worst case scenario could be without power for, you know, on the order of a few weeks. So even more so, we have to make sure that we are aware of what's happening and that our customers on those locations are taken care of.
Now, I know in Guam, when they were hit badly one year, I know Hawaiian Electric brought crews in to kind of help in Kukua. You know, and we're so far away. If we really had a big hit that, you know, would we see that same kind of help, let's say, from the mainland?
We would. We are members of what's called a mutual assistance group. It's a organizations where the electric utility companies on the mainland and including us here in Hawaii, we are all basically we have pre-agreed upon contracts that we can provide assistance to each other by sending equipment and crews and supplies. So in advance of a storm, for example, we are participating already then in conference calls with our Western Mutual Assistance Group. And everybody is taking stock of the inventory of their supplies and equipment. And basically, we're on call. Once an actual event happens, like a hurricane, at that point, we're making the call to our you know, colleague utilities on the mainland, yes, please send equipments, please send your crews.
Right. So if we had a need for power poles, we would get it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
You know, one of the lessons learned, I think, with Puerto Rico is that it took them so long to make that decision that they needed help from their, you know, fellow utility companies. We would not have that delay here in Hawaii. Again, we're well practiced. We have all the contacts already established with our mainland utility companies, and it's basically a system that goes that kicks into gear even before a storm hits us.
Okay, all right. And as we head into the hurricane season, keep our fingers crossed, and folks just need to be prepared.
Yeah, I think that's probably the immediate message. I think a little bit more going forward, though, is we really need to pull ourselves together with the critical infrastructure owners and our communities to really identify the priorities and the vulnerabilities on our islands, and then come up with those right recommendations on what do we do about it.
And we're certainly talking about that now. But thank you, Scott. Thanks for joining us today. Scott Siu is Hawaiian Electric Senior Vice President for Public Affairs. And all this week on The Conversation, we're delving into the vulnerability of Hawaii's infrastructure and vital systems. Tomorrow, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency covers our Achilles heel, the Port of Honolulu. Are we as prepared as we should be?